Hi, I'm Heather Mulder.
And I'm Janice Greeno, and you're listening to Dementia Untangled, where we explore the topic of dementia through conversations with physicians, experts, and community leaders.
Our discussions focus on innovative ideas, practical strategies, and proven methods to guide caregivers along a supportive path.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of our podcast.
Today, our conversation will be with Lori Scherer, who is living with frontotemporal dementia and early onset Alzheimer's disease. Beyond that, she is a dementia mentor, and she's on the board of directors for the Dementia Action Alliance, and is actually the director of dementia engagements with that organization. And today we're going to be discussing living with dementia. I love these conversations, and we have heard from some incredible individuals over the past couple seasons who are living with dementia. And Lori, I actually met through a project called To Whom I May Concern, which I know I've mentioned a few times in our conversations, but she is just absolutely remarkable how she finds meaning and purpose and puts strategies in place to support her day-to-day life to live successfully. So I'm really excited to have a conversation with her.
Thank you, Heather. It's exciting to be here and to get to speak with you once again.
Lori, we are so glad to have you. You are just making such a positive impact and helping people find purpose, and you are so inspirational, and I especially love how you have helped explain dementia on your website, which is dementiadays.com, and your Christmas tree and lights analogy. I'm so glad we get to have a conversation with you today.
Well, thank you. And I think the Christmas tree analogy has been helpful to many people. So I'm so glad that I was able to write that.
Before we get to that, I want to learn a little bit more about you. Can you tell us about your journey and what led you to connect with the dementia community?
When I was diagnosed, the doctor, I went to five doctors, and the fifth doctor said, "I'm just telling you what the other doctors didn't want to tell you. And that is that you have early onset Alzheimer's and FTD." And I looked at him and I knew what the A word was, but FTD, you know, flowers on the brain sounded like a good thing. Found out it's not. But then I said to him, "Well, what about my career? What about my job?" And he turned to my husband, didn't even look at me. He turned to my husband and he said, "Get your affairs in order, spend as much time with her family as you can, and come back in 6 months to see how much she's progressed."
Oh.
He left. When we left there was no literature. There was no comfort. There was no encouragement, no hope. Just go home and die was the basic message. He also left me to believe that I was the only person in the world under 65 who had dementia, which I found out is not true at all. I went home and I felt so lost. I felt so empty. I was used to being with people all the time in my career and working 60, 70 hours a week. And so I was always used to being with people. And then suddenly you're sitting at home and it's just such a feeling of emptiness, uselessness, depression. And I needed something. So I started researching what FTD was, first off, and then looking, I thought there's got to be some kind of support groups out there. And I found a group called Dementia Mentors. It was then called Virtual Memory Cafes, but Dementia Mentors. And when I went on, I met four fabulous people who really encouraged me that I could live and I could make a difference in the lives of other people through my dementia experience. That changed my whole outlook. I thought, you know, I'm not useless. I'm not pathetic. And darn it, I'm not ready to die. I'm not giving up. So I started writing, and first I just started doing posts on Facebook, and then people kept saying, "Laurie, you need to write a blog. You need to write a blog." So I did. I started a blog. It's Dementia Daze. That's daze.com, and I started writing about how I felt about things we experienced, about strategies. And then somebody by the name of Tipa Snow contacted me and asked me if she could use one of my blogs in her training. I'm like, yeah, sure. Then she contacted me again and she said, "Have you heard of Dementia Action Alliance?" And so she put me in touch with DAA. And through DAA, I met such wonderful people living with dementia. And I found a real purpose. I start getting involved and starting new chat groups and discussion groups and all kinds of things with DAA. Through that, I became so involved and found such a purpose that I wanted to do more. I wanted to stay engaged, which helped me a lot. It helped me to start to really live in spite of my dementia.
I think, Lori, your stories are so inspirational. And you mentioned writing a blog and your website. One of the stories that I love that you wrote is your Christmas tree analogy. I wonder if you could humor us and do a reading of that.
I'd be honored. Thank you. I have really good moments when I feel like anything is possible. I also have moments when confusion and disorientation take control of my emotions, my actions, and sometimes my body functions. Dementia doesn't happen overnight. Generally, it's a slow process. To me, dementia is like a Christmas tree. Think of a beautiful tree all decorated with lots of new lights, ornaments, and ribbons, maybe even a popcorn string. One day, one of the bulbs start to flicker. You tap it a little and it goes back on. Over time, another starts to flicker and then another. You tap them. Sometimes they come back on and sometimes they won't come back on. So you make adjustments to distract from the burnout lights, move an ornament, or add some tinsel to enhance the lighting. All the while this is happening, your tree remains beautiful and brightens the room. People who don't see your tree often or who visit during the daytime may not notice the lights flickering or those that are totally off. But you know that in time, all those lights will fade. I have times when my lights flicker and some of those bulbs just don't want to come back on again. For example, math. I can't add and subtract anymore. And we won't even talk about multiplication. That's not even in the equation. But for now, enough lights are shining that I can try to brighten the world. Physically, I'm strong and healthy. My husband Roy and I try to find an adjustment to compensate for the flickering bulbs. Sometimes people say, "Well, you don't look like you have dementia." And I'm thankful that my lights aren't flickering or that we've made the right adjustments so that people don't always notice it. For now, my tree stands tall, bright, and beautiful. With routines and adjustments, I'm able to live a beneficial, happy life. The day may come when my light bulbs are dim, but for now, I'm thankful for all the days when I can be useful. And as Roy reminds me, a Christmas tree is also beautiful during the day when the lights are turned off. I'm not the same Laurie that I used to be. I'm different. I'm the same, but I'm different. With adjustments, planning, and routines, my lights can still sparkle. That's the Christmas tree analogy.
Lori, thank you so much for sharing. I'm just really honestly, I'm holding back tears. You are inspirational, and that is so helpful to help people understand. And one of the things that you talked about was how you are involved With others, helping them find purpose. And you mentioned in this analogy having a happy life and being useful. And you are all of that and more. Can you talk to us more about the importance of purpose?
Sure. Thank you, Janice. Purpose is so important. What is the reason to get out of bed if you have no purpose in life? Why should you even get out of your pajamas or get out of the bed? We all need a purpose. For people in advanced dementia, maybe their purpose is just to button their shirt, but you need to encourage them to do that. Finding a purpose is so important that at DAA, we actually started a group. It's called DAA Helping Hands. And our main mission is to help people living with dementia find a purpose in life, give them a reason to get out of bed or get off their recliner and do something. We started this because we saw the impact that it has on people's lives when they have a reason to speak, they have a reason to advocate, they have a reason to help others. We had a gentleman named Steve, and he would come on to our discussion groups and sit in his recliner, never got out of his recliner, didn't have that much to say, didn't like to do anything but sit in his recliner. One day he got involved sending cards to people living with dementia, just encouragement cards, get well cards. He started with just sending cards. I think now he's up to about 15 cards per week that he mails to people living with dementia.
Wow.
From that, he now sends out 15 cards per week. He serves on our DAA Helping Hands team. He's on the DAA advisory board. He is a host for some of our dementia discussions, et cetera, et cetera. He just keeps going. He wants to do more and more. I haven't seen him in the recliner in about a year. Another gentleman, Mark, after he was diagnosed, he just sat at home and was kind of, woe is me. What do I have to offer life? I'm useless. Well, we got Mark started with some of our advocacy programs. Mark now is on the DAA advisory board. He hosts some of our dementia discussions. Every other week, he and I run a virtual engagement program called Music Beat and Trivia. He co-hosts Drop In with DAA, another discussion group, every Tuesday. He is like just an energizer bunny. He's going, 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 always coming up with new things. And he's happier than he's been since his diagnosis. Having a purpose helps you to feel as though you can enjoy life, as though your life has value and meaning. That's important for everyone. I always tell people, don't do things for me. Help me figure out how I can do them myself, or help me do them. Don't do them for me, because when you do things for me, you disable me. I want you to enable me to do things and not make me disabled.
Lori, you mentioned don't do for me and enable me to continue to be successful. And you have implemented a variety of kind of, I would almost call them home hacks or strategies to set your home up to help maintain your independence and help decrease stress. Could you share some of those strategies that you've put in place?
Oh, I can. A lot of my life is lived on strategies, learning new ones and living by the old ones. With dementia, sometimes, Heather, people think dementia is just memory. Dementia is so much more than memory loss. Dementia is the confusion, the agitation, the being lost within your own head. When I was first diagnosed, my husband was still working. He just retired 2 years ago now, but so I was home by myself all day, and there was a number of times I just had meltdowns. I just got so confused and disoriented. I just was in a total meltdown. One day, what brought on that meltdown was I went to make the bed, and we have a queen size bed and a king size bed. I had no trouble making the king size bed. I could not make the queen bed. No matter what I did, those sheets made no sense to me. After a while, Roy came home and he helped me make the bed. Next time I went to make the bed, same thing. I could make the king, I couldn't make the queen. So we started saying, okay, well, why? Why can't you make the smaller bed, the easier to make bed? Well, after looking at it and watching how I made the bed, we realized that the king size bed had stripes. The queen sheets were solid, and my head could not wrap around which way the sheets went on. So you can, in life, you can take your challenges and you can give up, or you can perk up and find a solution. So what we did was we sewed a tag at the bottom middle of each sheet, each blanket. And when I go to make the bed, the tag goes in the middle bottom of the bed. And the sheets fall on just perfect. Kind of like how you know which is the front and which is the back of your clothes by where the tag is. Well, I know how to put the sheets on based on where the tag is. And it works. It works perfectly fine. I've never had a problem again making a bed. I just follow the tags. Another thing, I had my nieces over for dinner one day, and my niece was a sous chef at Marriott, so she cooks like superb. I thought, okay, Laura, you got to make this good. Well, I tried making a dessert and I kept tasting it, and it just tasted terrible. I'm like, okay, add more confectioner sugar. And it still tasted worse. They did eat it, but bless their hearts, they were so sweet they ate it, but it was pretty nasty. What we found was that I had mixed the confectioner and the flour together in the canister.
Oh no.
I guess when I brought it home from the grocery store, they're both white, they look the same. So I mixed them together. And so as I was trying to make it better, I was adding part flour to the mixture. So what we came up with was, okay, this is not going to work. We can't stop Laurie from using the wrong ingredients. So what are we going to do? So now my canisters are all clear. And on the front of every canister is a picture of the package it comes in and the word. So, for example, flour and a picture of gold medal flour. So if gold medal stops making flour, I'm in trouble because it's not going to match anymore and it'll mess up my head. But I matched the picture and the word to the canister, so I put them in the right place. Also makes it really easy when I'm doing recipes because everything has a large label on it. Spices are in alphabetical order, facing front, and that keeps me from putting the wrong thing in, such as putting hot pepper flakes in a recipe that just calls for a little bit of pepper. That one didn't turn out so well either. So by keeping them in alphabetical order and facing front, it makes my life more controlled and easier. It makes me do a lot less mistakes. We have a lot of strategies that we use. In my closet, everything has a very precise location. And I always keep one set of clothes on a hanger. And I mean, one full set of clothes, my underwear, my shirt, my pants. Reason for that is if I get up in the morning and I'm confused, try figuring out, does this pants and shirt go together? Should I wear these together? It can be very confusing. Like, you end up wearing purple underwear with white pants. That doesn't always look so good. So
Right.
I have one hanger with my whole outfit. And if I wake up disoriented, I just have to pick up my hanger and everything I need is right there.
Oh, these solutions are so clever. And I love how you have been figuring out what the challenges are and then how to deal with them. And you've come up with these wonderful organizational home hacks. And I just have to ask you this. Were you always an organized person?
No. No, not at all. I was a career person. I was a workaholic. I worked long, long hours. And when you work long hours, you come home and it's like, okay, stick it on the hanger, put it in the closet. I never took time to organize my kitchen. When I did have to cook, I go through the cabinet and go, okay, where's this? Where's that? Okay, never mind. I can't find it. Use something else or don't use any, Not organized at all. But I found with my dementia, if I the more organized I am, the more independent I can be. It just helps me to live better. For example, I use a computer app called AnyList for almost any list I need. My grocery list and traveling list are all on AnyList. Reason I do that is I went to the grocery store one time and I picked up some groceries. My Aunt Joyce stopped over and said, "Hey, I'm headed to the store. Do you need anything?" And I said, "Oh, I forgot to get green beans and butter." So she got me green beans and butter. She came back to the house and she went to help me put them away. And she said, "Laurie, why do you need butter?" I had 9 pounds of butter in my fridge. I
Oh.
already had something like 28 cans of green beans. But in my head, every time I went to the grocery store, I needed butter and green beans. We don't eat a lot of green beans, but my head said butter and green beans. So I continuously overbought things. Now, when I run some out of something, I put it directly in any list. And when we go to the store, I know exactly what I need. I never used to make lists like that. The day I was going to the grocery store, I'd try and think of what I needed, and that was it. Now I have to do things differently. That's part of living well with dementia, is learning what your challenges are and not giving up and saying, "Oh, I can't make the bed anymore. Oh, I shouldn't go to the grocery store anymore," but rather saying, "How can I make changes to make this possible?" I look at people that are physically disabled. I had a friend who had to go into a wheelchair. She hurt her legs and had to go into a wheelchair. And although it took time, she didn't just say, "Oh, I can't leave the house anymore. I can't do this." She learned ways to make it possible. She learned ways that she could do things. She learned what public transportation offered wheelchair access, etc. And why should we be any different than people that have physical disabilities? We need to learn what the challenges are and learn how we can overcome them. What steps can we take to go over, around, under the obstacles that are causing us a challenge?
You know, Lori, when we met, it was a couple years ago, and you make me think of this because you're talking about obstacles and challenges. And at the time that I met you, you were in the process of moving. And I remember you sharing just how difficult that was for you to get oriented in a new environment. Can you share some of what that was like?
Moving is hard anytime. I don't care who you are. I don't know of anybody that says, "Oh, I love to move. I can't wait to move again." It's stressful and challenging. When you have dementia, it is really challenging and really stressful. And the reason is, first off, you're going through and you're trying to weed out the things that you can or can't take with you. You're going through and you're taking things that maybe have a lot of emotion to you and saying, "I can't take this with me." You're packing, you're saying goodbye. I lived in my home for 27 years and absolutely loved it. I had great neighbors, and moving was saying goodbye to that is difficult. But then you add to it just confusion of suddenly things aren't where they were. Even as they're being packed, your household is changing. You go to grab a piece of silverware or a cooking utensil, and it's not where it was before. Oh, yeah, they put it in the box already. It's gone. It makes life really confusing. When they take away your furniture, it's like, I don't know where I am anymore. I don't know this house. then moving, when we found a house down in Alabama and we moved, that also had its challenges. I would walk in a room and totally be lost, not knowing whose house it was and what I was doing here. One night, about 9:30 at night, my husband took a call from my brother and he wanted to talk to me, and I was gone. Well, it turns out I had decided to go visit my neighbor Wendy, who lives in Pennsylvania, and I now was in Alabama. And I used to just walk down the street and go visit with her. We were really close. And I decided to go see Wendy. Well, I couldn't find Wendy. We had only lived in this house maybe a few weeks. And after a very long time and driving all around, my husband found me in the neighbor's yard, laying in the yard with their dogs. He was petrified, to say the least. He was scared. And I was scared because I had no idea where I was. Since then, we've gotten to be really good friends, and I love those two dogs. But so you have challenges. The house is not set up exactly like my other home was, obviously. No two houses are really quite the same. For the first 3 to 5 months that we lived here, every closet, every cabinet had a paper on it that told me what was in there. We actually had arrows pointing which direction to go to the bathroom, so that if I was feeling disoriented, I could follow the arrows. There were times when that was real important to know the quickest direction to get to the bathroom. You go through a feeling of loss because nothing's familiar anymore. And although I love this home, there are times, even now, a year and a half later, that I don't know where I am. And that makes it hard, even though I have most of my furniture that I had in Pennsylvania. It doesn't look the same. It's not my home at times. And so Roy has to just help me get reoriented to where we are. It's tough. Moving is very challenging for people living with dementia.
Thank you for sharing that and for putting it into words so well. And I can't imagine how your husband felt, not knowing where you were and then finally finding you an hour later. You've mentioned him a couple of times. How does he help you out? And with all you have going on, does he help you know your limits?
Oh, there's times he tells me, "You're done. That's it." And in fact, there's been times where he's called the head of DAA and said, "Laurie's done. She's done. She needs a day." So yeah, there are times he reins me back. He helps me a lot because he's right there with me, trying to find strategies and solutions to the challenges. And sometimes he's the one that points out the challenges. Things I'm doing different or doing wrong. He points them out and helps me figure out what changes need to be done. Like with the sheets, I mean, he literally watched me over and over and over again trying to make the bed and try as we tried together to figure out why I couldn't make the bed. So he is just a huge part of helping me to learn how to stay independent and tell me when I need to stop. And not only that, he's really pretty awesome. In November, we'll celebrate our 41st, or yeah, 41, 41 wedding anniversary. And he's just really a wonderful person.
Happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I've had people say, "You mean to tell me you've been married 40 years to the same person?" Yeah, I have 40 years.
It really sounds like you found a great partner.
Yeah.
Another tool that you have talked about using, Lori, is sign language. Can you talk a little bit more about how you have implemented sign language and even the reasoning behind it?
Yeah, let me say, Roy is exactly my care partner. He is my partner in every way. He is not a caregiver. He's my care partner because we partner together as he helps me and we come up with strategies. I like using that. I like thinking of him as my partner, not only as my partner, but as my care partner as well, because people should be helping people living with dementia and working with them. Sign language. Well, I have my youngest brother, David, is hearing impaired. So when I was younger, I learned sign language so that I could help him. And so when I was diagnosed with dementia, I met so many people that were having language issues and were losing their ability to communicate. So I said to Roy, you need to learn sign language. He says, "Oh, Laurie, I've gone all these years without learning sign language. I can communicate with David. He reads my lips." I said, "No, you need to learn sign language." So as part of him being a partner, he learned 20 words in sign language. The important things: pain, confused, doctor, medicine, water, hungry, thirsty, bathroom, the necessary things that you would need someone to know. And I taught him American Sign Language, ASL, so that should we ever go to a hospital, that they can get an interpreter to understand me, but also he can communicate what I'm saying to somebody else as well. This was important because there are times that, probably because of the FTD, my speaking, I can't form my words. I know what word I'm trying to say, but I can't speak. And it's generally when I'm really tired or at night, times when I'm confused. And so by Roy knowing those 20 signs, I can still communicate with him very important things. Then we also felt it was important for my service dog to learn sign language. So if she knows, I lost track, I think it's 12 or 15 words in sign language. She knows help, daddy, bathroom, come, sit, etc. So that was important because, again, on times when I'm having trouble speaking, she knows that if I give her the right sign that she's good to go find Roy now.
Right, I just
So
think that the strategies that you've implemented are so creative, so useful, and really look at where is there an issue, where is there a challenge, and how can we work around that? How can we work through that? I think we could talk all day long with you, but our time together is coming to a close. So I wonder if you could give us your final thought when it comes to living well, living with purpose, and living with dementia.
first thing I would highly recommend to anybody newly diagnosed or someone living with dementia that hasn't yet done this is get involved. Find a group or groups that you can get involved in where you can associate with other people living with dementia. At DAA, we have three discussion groups per week, and 5 days a week, we have virtual engagement programs, which are coloring, poetry, music, beat, and trivia, et cetera. So there's plenty of activities that you can do there. DementiaMentors.org has chat programs as well. Alzheimer's Speaks has programs. You need to get involved with other people living with dementia. The reason that's so important, I will tell you absolutely, Heather, I have learned more from conversations with people living with dementia than I have learned from any doctor I ever went to. A doctor doesn't live with dementia and they don't understand your challenges and don't know how to help you through them. Whereas people living with dementia can often answer your questions. Geez, my whole sleep patterns are off. I can't sleep at night. Any recommendations? I might get five recommendations from people living with dementia in our group that have the exact same symptom. So that's really important. Second thing, you need a purpose. Find a group you can get involved in where you can have a purpose. If your only purpose in life is sending out cards to people, do it with all your heart and give it meaning. When you don't have a purpose, you have too much time to feel sorry for yourself and focus on yourself. Having a purpose helps you turn your focus towards other people, and helping other people helps you to feel happier about yourself and therefore live well. I'm also going to put in there exercise. I got to say, exercise is a must. It's nothing like being outside, getting the fresh air, stop and smell the roses, take some deep breaths, and get the muscles working as much as you can. Even if you're having some trouble walking, sit in a chair and exercise, but keep yourself moving. Those are important aspects for people living with dementia, I think.
Today, our conversation has been with Lori Scherer, who is living with frontotemporal dementia and early onset Alzheimer's disease. Lori, we so appreciate you sharing your insights and this empowering conversation about living with intentionality, living with purpose, and living with meaning, all while living with dementia.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be on with you.
Yes, and I just also want to say thank you, and thank you for shining so bright like a beautiful Christmas tree.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, and thank you, Heather, for another great conversation, and thank you to our wonderful listeners for joining us. If you haven't already, please subscribe and share this podcast. I'm looking forward to our next conversation on Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Dementia Untangled. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dementia Untangled is hosted by Heather Mulder and Janice Greeno, produced and edited by Amber Ayers, and is brought to you by Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. We are supported by generous donations to the Banner Alzheimer's Foundation.
Please visit our website at banneralz.org and follow us on Facebook to learn about upcoming events. If you have questions or comments, please email us at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com.